Hello, everyone. Welcome to the When It Worked podcast. You're with the host, Julian Leahy. Today, I'm joined by the fantastic Elliot Hassoun from Chile via London. Welcome, Elliot.
Thank you so much for having me, Julian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. All right, got the applause going. And we're going to play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Elliot. Now, what you need to be aware of, Elliot, is you have three lifelines. If you're not sure, use your lifelines. You can poll the audience, 30 seconds to Google it, or have a 50-50 split. So they're your three lifelines. All right. So
perfect. I'll try not to use them in my first three questions.
That's the key, but sometimes you really have no choice. All right, let's get the intro music on. All right, that's enough of that. First question, by definition, a diurnal event occurs how often? Daily, every 2 days, weekly, or monthly, Elliot?
Oh, Julian, I'm going to ask you a question before we get into this. The question is it worth taking the risk of going for what you're pretty sure it is and taking the guess, or would you encourage me to use my
Elliot, I'll give you a little bit of leeway, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, if you were feeling confident, which one would you be leaning towards?
If I was feeling confident, which I feel like I am today, I would go for every 2 days B.
Right, well, I don't think you should be feeling too confident about that, Elliot.
Great start. So let's probably do our best to go for... let's hit the 50-50.
Let's hit the 50-50. We've got daily and weekly left.
Okay. All right. Diurnal. I am only going to go for this answer because I feel like die would indicate daily, because in other languages, for example, daily in Spanish would be diario. So I'm hoping that that D indicates something to do with daily.
Let's lock it in. That's correct. Well done.
Hey,
Elliot. Woo, I was absolutely white knuckling it and sweating profusely that you were going to go out.
I'm sweating.
I don't think I would have let you. I would have found some way to sneak a clue in there. All right, you've got one lifeline used, but like I say, sometimes you just have to do that. The next question.
Yeah.
Before LL Cool J did the honors in 2012, which of these awards shows had gone without a host for 7 years? Grammys, Tonys, Oscars, or Emmys?
Oh. LL Cool J did the honors. You know, Tonys, I've never heard of.
Yeah,
I know LL Cool J.
You've never heard of the Tonys as an award show?
Never heard of the Tonys as an award show.
Okay.
And what's the Tonys for?
Tonys is for Broadway theater shows.
That makes sense.
And
while I don't see LL Cool J being on the Broadway host of the Tonys, yeah, so we can get rid of that one to begin with.
Right.
And then what are the Emmys for?
Well, the Emmys are television shows on normal television. The Oscars are movies, and the Grammys are records, albums, releases, music.
It would make the most sense for him to be on the Grammys, but maybe I can ask the audience. Maybe they can help me out here.
Tell you what, Elliot, I'm gonna just give you a nudge in the right direction. That's the last hint.
Oh yes,
locking in Grammys. That is correct. I always do give
like my logic
a little
is serving
tiny
me well
bit
today.
Of help. You were right, but you got a scare with going with your gut in the first question when the gut was leading you astray. That's why you weren't confident to go with your gut.
That was true.
Yes, it happens. All right, next question. Bill Clinton once said that climbing Kilimanjaro and running a marathon were two items on his what? You could also add in... I won't be rude. All right. Wish list, to-do list, bucket list, or conquer list? maybe Monica Lewinsky was on this list. Bill Clinton once said that climbing Kilimanjaro and running a marathon were two items on his what? Wish list, to-do list, bucket list, or conquer list?
I'm leaning towards conquer list. That's where I'm leaning towards.
Elliot, you're scaring the hell out of me. Use the lifeline.
I'll use the Ask the Audience in which case.
All right, Ask the Audience. We're just gonna
help me out, audience, please.
Wait for the votes to come in. Oh my god, I can't see anything. Is it working?
Maybe you can be my audience and push me in the right direction again, Julia.
Nothing's coming in. Oh, here we go. Okay. A, 4%. Ooh. B, 4%. C, 84%, which is bucket list. And D, 7%, the conquer list. Strong.
We'll have to trust the audience on that
trust
one.
Trust the audience.
It's a very, very convincing
lock
bucket
in
list.
Bucket yeah. list.
Let's do it.
Is correct. Well done. One lifeline left. We're still down in the bottom, but we're going to continue on. Famous siblings, Rosanna, David, Patricia, and Alexis are all Hollywood actors with what last name? Hang on. Can you see the next question? What's going on?
I cannot. We're still on the same one. There we go.
Okay, you can see it now. All right. Famous siblings, yeah. Rosanna, David, Patricia, and Alexis are all Hollywood actors with what last name? Bowie, Barr, Arquette, or Duchovny?
So we got Barr, Duchovny. I would say Alexis, Barr, Patricia. We know David Bowie. That's an obvious one, right? So, but do we know a Patricia Bowie and an Alexis Bowie? It doesn't sound too much like it could be wrong. Am I scaring you again, Julian, or are you liking the logic this time?
I've got the poker face on this time.
That would suggest that because you've been so kind-hearted to me that you're probably pretty confident in my choice. So I'm going to go out there. Let's go back to the gut. Let's go with Bowie.
We're going to lock in Bowie.
Pressure's on.
Unfortunately, the answer was Arquette. So Rosanna Arquette is an actress. She was in Pulp Fiction. David Arquette is the guy that was in Scream, married to Courtney Cox. Patricia Arquette was in True Romance. And Alexis Arquette is the trans person that was in that Adam Sandler movie, The Wedding Singer, played the keyboards like Boy George.
Okay.
That was it.
You
That's
know
all
your general knowledge way more than I do, that's for sure.
Yes, well, I did have did make this question, so let's have a round of applause. Well done, Elliot. Some tough questions there. But we got through a little bit, sort of, as long as we had fun. All right, just waiting for that to die down. And Elliot, tell us a little bit about your journey. You started out in the world of fitness and then you took a bit of a right turn somewhere. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, my journey started in health and fitness. I was a coach for many, many years, helping people get into their best shape ever. And essentially, a few years back, in fact, maybe 3.5 years ago, I launched my own podcast. I was a big fan of the medium, loved the idea of podcasting in a world where everything's becoming, let's keep your attention for as little time as possible and swipe onto the next thing. But podcasting kind of kept the tradition of long form conversation, you know, the ability to take your attention to a conversation, be prepared to listen to it. And I wanted a bit of that. So that's exactly what I did. I got started with my own podcast. And over the years, I found it to be an incredible, incredible journey. I've been able to have a lot of success with my own podcast as well. And I feel that there are so many voices in this world who deserve to be listened to. And I think a lot of us hold ourselves back from either creating our podcasts through the fear that no one will listen or that it's too complicated. And a lot of us also give up on our podcasts. You know, we get started and then we don't feel like we're not getting the type of listens that we deserve. And then we end up giving them up. And I want to help people get through that battle. You know, I want to show them that on the other side of that fear or on the other side of the challenge of people not listening, I want them to see and to know that there are listeners there. There are people who want to hear that message, and we can always do with more solid conversations in the world. And that's what I intend to help people do.
And you did mention that a lot of people give up on their podcast probably too early. How long did it take you, and why didn't you give up?
I would say for myself personally, I was very, very committed to the sense that I didn't have the crazy high outcomes. And I think this is a big thing that maybe a lot of us have. We have these high expectations of what our podcasts are going to be, or the amount of listens we're going to get, or if we're going to get famous overnight. And I think fortunately, I didn't have those high expectations. I wanted to make the podcast because of I saw a big gap in my industry, in my niche, and I was like, I'm going to fill this. And whilst I still had something to say, I continued to do it. And then it became habitual thereafter. Obviously, I was getting the results as well. I probably reached a bit of a turning point where my listens were kind of stuck at where they were. And then I decided that I would go and do daily podcasts. So I did that. I committed to it for over 190 days, which was quite a journey, that's to say the least. And that's what really turned things around for me. After I did those 190 days, there was really no stopping me. A weekly episode seemed pretty comfortable after that. And that seemed to allow me to get through my plateau as well. And then on the other side of that, it's just been gaining that momentum, which I find that if you stick to it, people truly are able to achieve. And that was the point for me. I was really like contemplating, okay, well, where is this at this moment in time? I was able to get onto the dailies, and then that really turned things around for me.
Interesting, Elliot. And so you did the dailies for a long period of time, and now you're on weekly schedule. Is that correct?
2 to 3 per week. If I have a lot of guests who I'm talking to, then I will go up to 3, but 2 to 3, one solo, one guest, definitely. And then we do a potential one extra guest.
And what did you notice happening when you kind of switched it up to quantity? And this is the thing. A lot of people have in their mind that it's quantity versus quality. And I very much think that people need to be looking at quantity. If you could somehow work out a workflow where you're able to really drastically increase your quantity output, you'll get a lot better results. What was your experience with that? And how long did it take you with that new kind of higher output to get some traction?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it's a different era that we're in now. I think I did mine in 2021. Through late 2021 through to 2022 was when I did my daily podcast. But I feel like the world that we're in right now with 2024, everyone is like quantity, quantity, quantity. And I would have to say that maybe that isn't the answer. You've got to first establish, okay, well, is the episode that I'm putting out maybe on a weekly basis even good enough in my eyes? Is it a good solid episode? Am I really making the effort, or am I just showing up and doing it on a whim? Because if that's the case, then quantity isn't going to solve your challenges. You need to improve your quality. So I think the first thing to do is make sure that you've got a really solid episode format. You're producing high quality episodes in the sense of you're preparing for the conversations, you're getting the best guests that you can, or you're presenting the best topics that you possibly can. And then thereafter, then you might want to start thinking about increasing quantity, and also making sure that you've got the time to do that as well, because of it's some work. You know how it is to produce a podcast. So realistically, if you go from doing that once or twice a week and then you times that by another 5 to 6, where it's depending on how many you go for, then you've got to make sure that you can maintain that. So I'd say that once I was maybe like a month in or so, I would say already after that I was starting to see some traction, because of you probably already have some very loyal listeners. And podcast consumption is pretty kind of easy to do, right? A lot of people commute. A lot of people go to the gym. A lot of people listen to podcasts passively. So if you put more podcasts in front of them, they already like your show. Firstly, they're going to listen to you. So if someone was only going to listen to you one time per week and you got one download, now you've got 7 downloads, because that same person is going to listen more and more. So you're giving more to your audience first things first. And then thereafter, you've got more opportunities to make an episode that really connects with someone, right? If you do it weekly, you've got 52 opportunities to make an impact on someone in a year. If you do it daily, you know, I don't encourage people to do this forever. It's pretty unsustainable, but you got 365 opportunities to impact someone. So it's more likely that you are going to impact someone sooner than they share it with their friend. And then, you know, off the back of, or they share it on their social media or whatever that might be. And then all of a sudden you have more and more people coming your way because you are creating more episodes. And also what was beautiful, and this is a really good point to notice, is there was less pressure. If I create an episode that I didn't love, it was like, perfect, I can just create another one tomorrow. You know, so I could go and do things that I wouldn't usually do. So an episode on commenting on Victoria Beckham's diet, for example, for me wouldn't be the one episode that I wanted to put out for the week. But when I knew another one was coming tomorrow, I could give my thoughts on current events. And that allowed me to have a little less pressure, a little bit more fun with the type of episodes that I wanted to produce. So I think there's a lot of value to doing it, but you do have to make sure that your quality is there and you've got a system in place that will allow you to maintain that, because there's no point saying you can commit to daily and then you miss a day, you miss a week, and then you end up burning yourself out because of that. Can definitely happen too.
Yes, yes, it is. You got to watch it, all of that, the burnout stuff. And one thing I will say, the daily or the higher quantity allows you to, everything becomes clearer in terms of direction. And, you know, and I think sometimes people get stuck in the, what their idea is going to be and trying to make everything perfect. But when you just ramp things up and just start going regularly every day, you start to get a real feel for what you want to do. And absolutely, you just execute. That's my tip. And if people are talking, they want to talk to somebody about getting into podcasting and they're scared, they have no idea, because there's a lot of technical challenges. There's a lot of things that they need to learn. And what's the process if they get in touch with you? They're coming to get you, Elliot, under the bed. No, just kidding. Well, what's the process? How do you work with people and what can they expect?
Yeah, so the best place to start, if you just want to come into my world a little bit more, is, I really have to run, they are going to get me. But the best place to get started on that front is to, I would say, head over to my Instagram page or my YouTube channel. Both of those have a lot of tips and tricks in which you can implement. And I think it's going to be a good place to head over. That's the Podcast Growth Coach. And the idea behind that is just to get to know me a little bit better and see if my tips resonate with you. And I hope they do. And then the idea of working with myself, it depends on the stage in which you are at in your journey. If you're in the launching phase, you're wanting to get started, then we have something covered for you on that. We have a comprehensive coaching program and course in which you can go on. And also the same goes for if you're ready to grow your show, whether you need to relaunch, whether you need to restructure, or if you're just in a bit of a plateau like I was. I promise I won't tell you to start doing daily podcasts. It might be there, but it's not the formula I give for everyone. But that's the idea. You can just reach out to me. My DMs are always open as well. My email is always open too for anyone to ask the questions. But my approach is, I'm not the tech guy. You know, don't expect to come to me and for me to tell you the latest and greatest microphone. That's not me. I'm the guy who wants to make it as simple and as easy as possible for you to get your voice out there into the world.
Yeah, that's all you need. You need somebody to clarify things for you so that you can just start just cutting sick and getting out there every day. Excuse my language. And where do we find out about your course, Elliot? Is there a website? I noticed I couldn't find a website, which I thought was unusual. What gives?
No, this moment in time, yeah, it was interesting. In my last business, I didn't operate with a website initially. Eventually, I got around to making one because you do need your little corner on the internet. But right now, I am mainly talking to people through the form of a newsletter as well. That's another thing that maybe we can add to the show notes. My social media platforms. There will be a website in the near future. But for the time being, just reach out to me and I can share all the details there in regards to what to expect. And, you know, basically the idea is that you've got what I like to call a perfect trifecta of information. You've got the course materials, which is going to give you all the information that you need, whether you're starting or growing. You have the coaching, which is done with myself. And then you have a community aspect as well, where we put you together with other members of the team. So you've got those three forms so that you're getting support from all different angles. You've got education, you've got the implementation, then you've got the support of the community as well. So that is what you can expect. But yeah, you will have to ask me at the moment in time because the website isn't working.
How do people do the course though? Where do they do it?
They will get introduced into my worlds in the sense of that all the videos are updated onto our website. So we have a separate website for the course material. That's all sitting there. That's all live and ready to go. And then through the platform of me communicating through people through WhatsApp and email, that's how they'll, and then we'll have bi-weekly calls with the ones who are on the Grow package. On the launch, we are doing weekly webinars, but it's kind of in a group setting. So you have a weekly webinar where we'll go on a Zoom together, we'll discuss how you're getting on with that, you'll be working through the course material and everything along those lines. And then when it comes to the coaching side of things, that's when you're going to have the one-to-one calls with myself. And that's where we'll pretty much go deep on your podcast and make sure that we're giving you all the advice that you need to. But it's all done through the format of a course, which you can log on to. You've got your own details and everything along those lines. And then you'll have access to me throughout the course of that time as well.
Wonderful. And if you're out there, and who do you work with mostly? That was the other question. Is it mostly fitness guys or do you generalize a bit?
It's primarily fitness because I know their industry. You know, I created my own fitness podcast, but it's predominantly it's actually going to be entrepreneurs and online business owners. Like, those are the type of people who I want to work with. I also want to work with people who have something that they want to offer, whether it's a service or a product, because I think there's a lot of smart ways of monetizing your podcast, maybe not through the traditional format of like making money from sponsors or anything like that, but there's a lot of ways in which you can sell through your podcast in a very organic and not super overly salesy way, in which I encourage people to do. So I work with people who have something to offer to the world as well, there would be a service or product. So there's fitness coaches, but there's also online business owners and entrepreneurs as well, who have something that they want to share with the world too.
Awesome, Elliot. And if you want to get in touch with Elliot, all of his contact details are in the show notes or on YouTube in the description. Thank you very much to the fantastic Elliot Hassoun.
Thank you so much for having me, Julian. It's been a pleasure, and I'll work on my question and answer skills for the next time on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
No, you did great where it counts. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. I'm going to wrap things up, and I'll see you very soon on another episode. Bye-bye.